Welcome to Church 307, Wyoming's online church. I'm glad you're here. You can be live with us every Monday at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Also, you can watch it on the Flippity Flop on demand. If you hit the bell, you'll be notified of our podcasts that are coming up in the future. And with that, Grant, hit it.
Yep, yep. Send it.
Okay, my name is Mitch Austin. I am sitting down here with Mike Wilson.
That's me. Hello. This is Zach Poitra over here to my right.
Hola.
Zach the Body Poitra.
Right.
Zach the Body Poitra is also our trainer. Don't hold that against him.
Oh.
This is not his
fault. I was going to flex. I'm like, I'm not going to flex on camera. You kidding me?
Why not?
I'm too scared.
Zach is the hospitality director here at New Life. He also oversees our Blessings in a Backpack ministry and coordinates all the feeding of the children.
That's right. The chitlins. They're important.
Well, they are.
Take care of the children.
Feed them.
That's right.
Who will feed the children if we don't?
Oh, well, we're going to do it. We're going to make everybody else do it, too.
That's right. So thanks for joining us, Zach.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm guessing this will not be the only time you will be on.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Have
so
you
far.
Back round and around.
Round and around.
Today we're talking about anger.
Mm-hmm.
And so
fun conversation.
Let's as a little icebreaker here.
Mm-hmm.
How about you both tell me the last time you lost your temper? Just lost it. Lost control.
Oh.
Well, mine was on my anniversary.
Your first anniversary.
Well placed.
So that's, I mean, I think that's a good omen, honestly.
Sure, sure.
The test of the marriage, for sure.
Yeah.
You don't know how strong the marriage is unless you test it.
Right, exactly. And I think if you're going to hop in, should be all in. So.
Yeah, not half it.
No.
You just annoyed at her and you just yelled at her.
It was, you know, when you put people in a home together, there's kids.
Yeah.
And there's duties and there's conversations.
And duty.
It's duty.
Yeah.
There's duty.
And I'm a fallen man.
I'm not perfect.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Me and my wife were having a passionate conversation. I think we were both excited about what we were talking about. Before long, it got into a huge screaming match.
Mm.
And by the end of it, we were both thinking, what's going on? Why are we fighting about this?
But mm-hmm.
It does happen. So,
Mike?
Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? That's the constant thing. I'm like, seriously? Sure. Was that worth it?
Sure.
No.
I lost it. For me, it was... my son is one of those, I'm having a conversation with my wife and my son's sitting there beside us saying, hey, dad.
Lois.
What?
Lois.
What do you want?
Mommy.
Just totally lost it.
What I can't figure out is if they know they're being annoying or if their brains are literally glitched out and they can't help it.
Right.
But like.
So one track.
Like, I don't care you're talking. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Or if they're like, this will stick it into us.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So the story we're talking about today is a day that Jesus, it's right after the triumphal entry. Jesus enters Jerusalem walking toward his crucifixion. He knows this. Not everybody knows this. And when he gets to the city, he goes to the temple and enters the temple and just goes crazy. He didn't lose his temper.
Right.
But he got mad.
Yeah.
He starts kicking over tables. Money changers is what we usually call them. They've set up a shopping mall in the temple. And Jesus is pissed, starts going nuts, which Jesus has been in this temple and seen this many times.
Yep.
I mean, he used to travel with his family to Jerusalem for all the holidays. So why this time seems pretty strategic.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was ready to start the fight that was going to ultimately lead to his death.
Yeah.
He knew he needed to be crucified. So bring some attention to yourself. I'm going to throw some money changers out of
this.
What
I feel like is like there was like the 80s rock, dun, the final
blaring through the speakers all the way through the temple.
Right, he's just
strutting through there.
Anyway.
So I think it'd be good to start with the question, why? Why did Jesus get so mad?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll wrestle with that for a minute, and then we'll kind of take it personal. And what does this mean to us about anger and how we should handle it?
Mm-hmm.
So why did Jesus get so mad? I think it's valuable in answering that question to look at what Jesus said. We don't have a whole sermon he preached about this. He has his one sentence, and in that sentence, he quotes two different passages. And so he says, you have turned this place into a den of thieves. When he uses the phrase den of thieves, he's quoting Jeremiah. And when Jeremiah used that phrase, Jeremiah was predicting the destruction of the temple, which happened. Jeremiah predicts it. The temple is destroyed. All you selfish people are using this temple for personal gain. Jeremiah predicts the temple will be destroyed. I think Jesus was doing the same thing, and the religious leaders knew it. He's already talked about tearing down the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days. Now he's just taking another step, quoting Jeremiah. And so he was saying greed. So what does the greed look like? From your perspective, you look at the temple and how they've set up this shopping mall in the temple. How is that greedy? How is this a greedy act?
Well, they were based on the sacrificial system, right? Mm-hmm. So if there is something that feels dirty, that to have an animal that you have to sacrifice for your for that time, you're getting upcharge,
right,
for the animal that's going to be
right.
Yep.
That you need. And you could bring it, but you're already packing 3 duffel bags.
Yeah.
And probably a couple animals eat it on the way.
Depends how many wives you bring in with you.
Yeah. Well, I thought, yeah. So, yeah. For sure. I think,
and they're entrepreneurs, and they decide, okay, we're going to use this sacrificial system. This is what I think using the Lord's name in vain is.
Right.
Is using God's law, God's plan for personal gain, God using God's name for personal gain. And they're getting rich off this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Getting powerful and rich, and Jesus gets pissed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Second reason I think that he is so mad is because the second passage that he quotes is from Isaiah. And in the Isaiah passage, he calls the temple a house of prayer. And that's what he says. This was meant to be the house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of thieves. When Isaiah calls it the house of prayer, he follows it up by saying, for all nations. And so this is a little diagram of the temple.
That's a nice call out. That's great.
That's my
gamer tag,
yeah. This is a diagram of the temple. If you'd like this, you can go to church307.com/notes, and we will email you an outline of this week's discussion, and it will have this picture on there. That picture is of the temple that Jesus would have been in, and where this mall would have been set up was out here in the outer courtyard, not in the sanctuary, but out in the outer courtyard where the Gentiles would have done their worshiping. I think the second reason why Jesus was so upset is because it was supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, but they had removed the Gentiles' place of worship and placed their own, what do they call the food trucks?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Market. Vendors, maybe.
They've got their own vendors. That's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Set up in this courtyard and keeping the Gentiles out, keeping them from worshiping. What would be an equivalent in today's world of the church keeping people from worshiping, building some kind of barrier between people and worshiping God?
I think an easy one is if you're outside the church already, kind of, or if you're just kind of getting into the church,
mm-hmm.
maybe your background, your history doesn't look the same as somebody who has been in the church for a long time.
Yep.
It's easy to turn them into another. Like, it could be a divorce. It could be living with someone you're not married to. It could be, I don't know. You have a criminal record.
Yep.
It could be, I don't know.
We expect people to get all that stuff together before they come.
Right. We want you cleaned up before you can, before you can come sit with us.
Right.
Although our lives are sometimes in shambles, but
get healthy before you come to the hospital.
Right. Exactly. Right.
I think so many times we kind of create a church culture.
Mm.
And we expect people to assimilate into our culture rather than recognizing that people come from different cultures. And I think that would be a similar thing about what they're doing with the Gentiles. You're not one of us. Mm-hmm. You're not part of our culture.
Right.
And so exclude people from that for that reason.
Right.
Or our worship styles.
Right.
It's like, you better like our style of music and you better dress like us.
Yeah, I think we build cultures sometimes where we get used to sitting in a certain place, doing certain things. And they were actually changing the culture by taking up all the room.
Yeah.
Now the Gentiles don't know where they fit in. So their culture changes. Now, are they there to worship now, or are they there to do other things? Like, your culture has now changed. And we tend to do that by going to a church for too long.
Yeah.
And we have a certain seat. We have a certain people we want to talk to. We have that culture.
Yep.
Unfortunately, which is still good, I guess.
The last church I, long story, but for a while, my wife and I quit going to church, kind of were angry at God, and we went and finally decided we were going to step back into a church and went and visited a church, and we walked in carrying a Starbucks cup.
Right.
And the greeter said, "Sorry, sir, you can't come in with your cup." I'm just like, that's the only excuse I needed. I'm out of here.
Yep,
just,
seriously, all tuck.
I gave it a try, but we ended up back in church, obviously.
Well, it is, but I mean, it is a bummer. We were just talking to a guy today at lunch,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things he says, like, "Hey, we do want to come check your church out, but we have anxiety about, is it going to be judgmental? How are we going to be viewed when we come in your door?"
Sure.
And it's just, that's such a rough conversation. The church should not be a spot where people feel that.
Yeah. But so the church has been that for so long.
Right.
So we have to kind of swing the pendulum and fight against the sins of the previous church or other right. churches in order to communicate. That's not who we are.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not what we do. This is a house of sinners. We are all, mm-hmm. we're all sinners.
We're all,
I got it
we're all
in
guilty
first.
Of sin.
We're all guilty of sin.
I think that's a point for you then.
Yeah.
We're all guilty of sin.
Mm-hmm. So I think we have to, that's why the come as you are message is so incredibly important.
Mm. Right.
Yep. We got to shout it out there as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
So Jesus gets angry. He goes through the temple and turns over these tables. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about, do you think that it is wrong for churches to sell things in the sanctuary?
Now, Mike, when you mean the sanctuary, do you mean the lobby and the sanctuary, parking lot?
Good question.
Yeah?
Great question.
I wasn't leading.
Yeah. No, when I say sanctuary, I believe that we are the sanctuary, so it was a trick question that I was going to try to do a gotcha.
So good.
I don't believe we go to the sanctuary. I think we are the sanctuary. Yeah. So if we're going to say, no, you can't sell things in the sanctuary, you're like, not selling body parts or
right. That is so fun. And then,
yeah.
But it's a great, and that's like another good conversation for a lot of people is when Jesus was talking to the woman with the well, he says the location is not going to matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. Where you're worshiping at.
Yep.
So yeah, right. And that's a fun little parallel too, which is with, there was a, in that picture you were showing, the difference between the sanctuary and what'd you call it?
The outer court.
I want to call it the lobby.
But lobby.
Yeah.
It's lobby.
Yeah. But
coffee right. shop.
So is it sinful to sell stuff?
Yeah.
Is it? Is that your initial question?
Yep. Or is it wrong?
Oh, man, I don't know.
I mean, I've heard my whole life, I grew up in the church, and I heard this passage used as an excuse for why we can't have a booth in the church selling things for the kids' fundraiser, or you can't do some raffle for some fundraiser, or whatever it is. We drew the line, and we just were like, no money exchanging
right.
in the sanctuary.
Right. No, I don't see an issue with it, because once again, we aren't tied to a sacrificial system.
Right.
The priest, the perfect priest, the perfect lamb has, Jesus has done that, yep. has accomplished that task, that thing. Right. Jesus wasn't, I mean, I don't think he was, if they were selling a nice bottle of Fiji water in the temple, I don't know if Jesus would have been kicking tables over. I think it was the fact that they were creating a barrier from causing financial distress on people or making it hard for them to come to God.
Yeah.
I don't think selling coffee or t-shirts in a lobby to benefit your ministry, to help the community,
even when
is the same thing. To me, I just view those as different things.
Even when God set up the sacrificial system, he said, this is what you should sacrifice for certain things. But if you can't afford that, he made an allowance for a cheaper sacrifice.
Right.
You could merciful. Sacrifice a bird because they were cheaper and right. easier to get. And so when they start price gouging with these animals in the temple, they're doing the exact opposite of what God obviously intended with the sacrificial system.
Right.
This wasn't meant to make widows more poor.
Mm-hmm.
But they were using the Lord's name in vain. They were right. using this for personal gain.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't think it's wrong to answer your question.
Yeah, and I think the church is the building. It's not the temple. So I don't view a church as any different from a Walmart.
Holy ground.
Yes. It's a building that we gather in the body, but
yeah.
other than that, it's hollow.
Yep.
It just is.
Yeah, we use the word church two different ways. We use the word church to represent or to mean this building, which actually just goes back to a German word that's just a poor translation.
Okay.
There you go. You're half German now, right?
Yeah, right.
Isn't that how that works?
She's gonna watch
it. How'd you inherit that at 30?
Sorry.
Impressive.
Yeah.
You talk to a lot of Germans, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that one, too.
And so as a result of that weird translation thing, we call this building a church. Mm. We also call the community the church, the people. We are the church, the body of Christ. All together are the church. And because we use that same word to mean two different things, this conversation can get really complicated.
It gets weedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, and so a lot of people try to fight it. They're like, this is not the church. We're like, well, it's that German word. So kind of.
Right.
It's just kind of evolved in meanings.
But. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on and talk about anger itself. Right. Jesus has never sinned, correct?
Correct.
That's what I believe.
Okay, good. And Jesus got angry. So we would say, anger is not a sin. However, when Jesus sins, we would call it, when Jesus gets angry.
Cut that.
We would call it righteous anger.
Right.
Yep. How often is the anger that we feel in our lives actually righteous anger? I know we want to label a lot of our political opinions righteous anger.
Sure.
Oh, that's such a good one. That's just ripe.
Mm. Yeah.
Here's one.
Yeah.
If I buy a piece of technology that's supposed to work.
There you go.
And I'm moving my finger on it and it's not working.
Right.
And I throw that on the ground.
Right. Hypothetically.
If this were to happen.
Right. Yeah.
Is that righteous anger?
I think it's righteous.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing.
I feel horrible after that.
Hypothetically felt horrible. Right.
You were worse than the money shaker.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's such a fine line there between I watch parents at kids' sporting events with just overwhelming anger or whatever it is, cliche thing that we can point to that people get angry about. And we can pretty quickly say, well, that was justified anger for this reason. Or sure. I was fighting that political battle for justified reasons, and we always want to justify our anger. But if we are going to call it righteous anger, it has to be something that God would be angry about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you pointed out something on Sunday that I thought was, I just wanted to hear you say it three more times.
Okay. So good.
So good.
So you record the messages.
Oh,
you
can go back. I can just. But it's interesting to watch Jesus. A lot of his anger, or I think anger would be the right word. I can't remember what word you used on Sunday, but it's typically, it was at the religious leaders. Yeah. Like there's so many times he was talking to Gentiles and people who were sinners, mm-hmm. and he corrected them, mm-hmm. but it did not have the same scorn or the same decibels as when he would talk to the people who were supposed to be leading.
Yep. I was
that was interesting. I thought that was a good point.
I was just reading about how Jesus goes to Galilee the first time to the cities in Galilee, and he's preaching, and it emphasizes that he's healing a lot of people. He's preaching the good news. He doesn't talk anything about sin. Then again, he goes in with his disciples later to those same towns, and he makes the message a little bit heavier, but he's still not full-blown given the heavy-handed message.
Right.
And then he sends the disciples a third time before they really deliver the heavy, hard message. Hmm. It's kind of like slow walking their way into building a reputation enough,
right.
building a relationship enough,
mm-hmm. that
they can actually share the heavy handed
right.
with those. Mm-hmm. However, when it's not the Gentiles and when it's not the outcasts, he's going to the religious leaders and he goes 0 to 10 and
I see, yeah.
instantly.
Yeah.
I think part of that is just because he's saying you should know better.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, there's very few times I feel justified. The last time I kind of got after my daughter, I felt justified. But even within that, I've struggled with anger for a long time. I still feel bad about it. I still feel like I hate to go to that place. I hate to have to raise my voice. I hate to have to do any of those things. I think even to the fact that even if you feel justified, knowing the relationship of the people is so important. So even at that, even when I feel justified, I feel horrible. Because I would hate to break that relationship for that means,
yep.
even if it's right, even that if that's what they need.
Yeah,
and I'm sure Jesus would agree. I hate doing these things. I want you just to be my children.
Yeah.
So stop doing this so I don't have to do this. You know.
Yeah, and he would. You could have said he would have been justified to go angrily at the sinners.
Right.
It would be justified for him to be angry at their sin. But even if it was justified, does not mean that it's the best tactic.
Sure.
I'd say that in parenting.
Right.
I think a lot of times my anger at my children, most people would say, okay, that was justified. They obviously were screwed up there, but that doesn't mean it's the best tactic or the best option in me in parenting my children to jump to anger. Mm-hmm. And so even when it is justified, it's not always the best thing.
Right.
True.
You see how rarely Jesus used it.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier, this was a decisive moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, which I think is another great example of using anger in a pointed way.
Yeah.
This is he chose his battlefield. He chose, he chose the grounds for that day. Like, this is where this fight's going to happen, or this is where I'm going
to
show this.
And you wonder how much buildup there is to that. So how slow was he to this anger? Yeah. How much did he see things changing, or how screwed up things were for years? And finally, he's like, okay, now we got to take care of it.
So how do we easily decide what is righteous anger and what is sinful anger? Like, how do we decide if something is sinful or righteous?
Right. We listened to your message this weekend, but I think just having not you at the core. I think obviously having Jesus at the core, but if it's not just Jesus, it's the other people in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but Jesus, obviously, in the core. When it's self-centered.
Yeah.
Obviously,
self-centered anger is sinful anger.
Right. You're fighting for yourself. Yeah. Which you shouldn't have to do.
Right. It gets messy.
Yep.
I was like, for the Lord. I just want, you know.
And I think it's helpful. You mentioned about relationships, how anger affects relationships.
Right. Yeah, I was listening to a podcast or something that guy was talking about. Just having the relationships in your core of your thought process. And this question should always come up. Is this person worth losing? Is my spouse worth walking away from me? Is it worth losing my best friend over this fight? Am I willing to go to that point to make my point for this relationship? And rarely would people answer yes. But you can see people lose relationships all the time. Because they didn't ask them that question. They didn't keep that person in mind when they did get angry.
Yep. Is this relationship more valuable than my emotion in this moment too?
And how many times is in the moment you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah,
it's worth it. Losing. Sure. And then, you wake up the next day thinking, dang it.
I think it's so valuable then for us to get to know ourselves enough to know what makes me angry. If I know that this activity or this place or this, if I watch CNN, I get angry. Or if I go, whatever, I can't.
Kids soccer game, man.
Yeah.
I can't go.
Oh.
Whatever.
Have you been to a kids baseball game lately?
Oh, yeah.
I can't call a shot worth.
Yeah, I'm sort of the worst.
When it's a goal there.
Their field goals are terrible. Yeah. I can't get it.
And so you know yourself enough that when I go into that situation, I'm going to feel anger. So I need to prep myself ahead of time and tell myself, you're not going to think logically in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to set up some parameters ahead of time and determine that I won't lose my temper. I won't allow myself to go there. I think that's just going into those situations with the ability to pray and renew your mind and calm your thoughts.
Yeah, actually, someone has a great question.
Love it.
Dwayne Baker, for those of us who deal with defensive anger, what sets the difference from righteous anger if we are being targeted or attacked in our relationships?
Sure.
So what sets the different from righteous anger? Yeah.
Defense.
Yeah, I think the idea of turning the other cheek, the idea of allowing yourself to feel pain, to be hurt for love of another person, if you're self-focused, so the more we mature spiritually, the less self-focused we are, the more others-focused we are, and so we're able to be wronged without lashing out in anger. Mm-hmm. And so I think as we grow so 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Right.
And so I think it is a regular self-evaluation. Am I about to react because I have been hurt? Or am I about to react because I love the person I'm reacting to?
Mm-hmm.
You have to put a caveat here.
Okay. And caveat. That sounds like a dessert.
Yeah.
But it's Italian.
Okay. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, all the Italian's good desserts are. You have to say, unless if you are being abused,
mm-hmm.
right. you don't just keep turning the other cheek.
Right.
You don't go back to the abuser. You have a new identity. You're a different person. You are a child of God. And so we're not telling people to just keep receiving abuse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even when you do that, you are not acting selfishly. When you remove yourself from an abusive situation, allowing somebody to abuse you is not selfless. That is harming them. Allowing them to abuse you is harming them. That is not helping them. And so even in that situation, you're thinking selflessly and you're thinking about how you can be generous in this interaction.
Yeah.
So I really do think it all comes down to recognizing your motivations.
Yeah, true. It's true. And defensive anger, I think, it's an easy one that really anybody can fall into.
Right.
Right.
Because you self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right.
Yep.
I mean, that's one of the, we talk about this with our life group guys a lot is, it's fun to learn a lot of things, but being inside of the church body, it opens you up to having to practice things. Yeah. And being one of the things that is hard is the defensiveness,
mm-hmm.
where people can say something that offends you.
Yeah.
And you have to look at that person and say, I'm going to forgive you, or let's continue this conversation, this relationship, even though
sure. yep.
I don't agree with you or I want to get angry. Extending grace. Community is good at least it gives you an opportunity to practice.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
Not getting angry.
We've been talking to our sons a lot, mostly my oldest son, about how to handle bullies.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one kid in his class who's just always saying mean things to him, criticizing
him.
Punch
him in the mouth.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's not what I told him. And so this kid it's usually about sports. You lost the game on the playground, or you're not good thrower, or you're not a good kicker, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he gets so defensive, and he comes home and he's like, Dad, can I hit him? Like, what? Like, his immediate reaction, because he's immature, because he's young, his immediate reaction is physical. I'm going to lash out.
Yeah. Yep. I heard that.
And so we've been trying to teach our kids, mostly Lincoln, because he's the one dealing with it right now.
Right.
How do I respond when somebody hurts me, when somebody harms me in that way? Do you guys have a go-to advice for your kids on that one?
Well, I think a two-way with this question that we had, I think guarding your heart is super important. And I'll probably not get that passage right. But to me, the anger issue was one thing that I needed to learn how to guard my heart, because the anger inside of me, I would allow to feed. And it would stay there, and I would act on it, and I'd do all those things. Now that I'm starting to release those things and forgive people and forgive myself, now my heart feels better. Mm. And I feel like people are so justified when they're wrong, and they let that feed, and they let that anger feed. But if you stop letting that anger feed, if you let things go, you're going to guard your heart from being more angry, more justified in your anger, more wanting to hurt people. And young kids just don't understand that. They're trying to figure out the world as it is. But even adults have such a hard time just letting things go and guarding their heart from the anger that's inside.
Yep.
Yeah. Kids are hard. I mean, it's funny because my daughter it must be a first grade thing.
Mm. Seriously.
Because she's like, yeah, if kids hit you, I was like, what do you do? Like, well, we go tell them. And good parenting advice here. I was like, well, we used to hit them. She's like, no, if you hit them back, then you both get in trouble. But if you tell on them, only they get in trouble.
Right.
I get your math.
Yeah.
Like that.
You're going to get stitches.
That makes sense. But
she just proved she's wiser than you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So when you're, but it is, when you are as an adult though, you can't lash out.
Right.
I mean, you can.
You can.
You can.
It's less likely.
It's just less likely. And you're going to see the deterioration that we've been talking about.
Sure.
But slowing down, you mentioned breathing. I think that's just anything that can slow you down.
It's magic.
Yep.
It's magic.
Yeah, we tell our kids all
Magic
the time.
Magic Mike, everybody.
What? Thank you.
Don't go there. We tell our kids all the time, take a breath.
Yeah.
Take a breath. Or we'll say three deep breaths.
Yeah.
Five deep breaths.
Seriously.
And there's nothing magical in a breath.
No.
It is just pausing. It's slowing down. It's thinking for a moment.
Yeah.
And it makes so much of a difference. And I always say you're not going to beat the other kids with your body. You're going to beat them with your brain. And so the Second Corinthians passage says, take every thought captive.
Mm-hmm.
And so when your hormones start firing and you want to react and you want to lash out, you take every thought captive. You slow down and you think, what would be the logical next step in this situation? How should I react? What would work in this situation?
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you've dealt with anger in the past. Was there something, was there a wake-up call? Was there something that happened in your life that made you realize something needed to change?
I think there's been several, but my kids reacting negatively, my wife reacting negatively. I'm seeing my wife taking on more of my characteristics. So there's been lots of stepping stones going through there. Never one where, you know, the cops show up and I get arrested. It wasn't a big wake-up call. But over time, I've seen some bad situations that I've made worse by my anger.
Mm-hmm. I think this is my assessment, is Jesus goes in and he throws over the tables. One of the translations says kicked over the tables.
Him over.
Which one was it? Is he karate?
I like to see him just like
karate chopping, throwing, kicking. I don't know.
I want to see a table flip. That's it.
Yeah. So Jesus goes in, and I think a little bit was, I'm picking a fight because I need them to crucify me.
Right.
But I think also it was meant to be a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is saying, with my actions, I'm going to show how severe this sin is.
Sure.
How severe the disunity and the discrimination and the racism that I'm witnessing in this experience, in this situation, how severe it is. So I need to give them a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about my parents got into an accident with my whole family. 10 people packed into a station wagon.
That's beautiful.
Nobody wearing seatbelts.
No one died. Incredible.
No one died miraculously. The crazy thing that I didn't say earlier, a couple years before that, they were in another accident in which mom had cruise control on, driving 80 mile an hour, fell asleep, smacked into a bridge, and nobody died.
Jeez.
And nobody was wearing seatbelts. I'm like, good when are you going to learn your lesson?
The Lord is good today.
He is good today.
When are you going to start wearing the seatbelt, right?
Yeah.
And I asked them that. I was like, why? Why didn't you learn your lesson? And they were like, we didn't wear seatbelts. That's just not what people did. They never
wear freedoms.
That's what the roll cage is for, right? Yeah.
They needed a roll cage on that station wagon. Yeah. They never connected. The pain that we're experiencing is because we're not wearing seatbelts.
Right.
And so I think usually that's true. Cultural norms kind of dictate our behavior.
They really do.
If this is what people do, then this is what we'll do. We just kind of follow. We're lemons. We're lemmings. We're sheep. We just kind of follow along until something wakes us up. Enough people have to die so that this catastrophe will take us to behavioral change.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when you get click it or ticket.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you get alarms in cars if you don't buckle your seatbelt.
Sure. It's funny you say that because I grew up with a father, a very strong-willed dad who yelled and screamed and was angry. Still is at times.
Yeah.
He's a lot more calm now. He's calmed down over time, but I learned it from him.
Huh. And there was no wake-up call with you watching him that said, I'm going to change the behavior.
I knew I didn't like it. But also, I idolize my dad. I think my dad's an awesome person. Mm. I wanted to learn how to be like him. I didn't like that part of him, but I thought it made him strong. And I thought it made me strong.
Right. Showed how tough you were.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could win a fight.
Mm-hmm.
When did you make the transition from, because you're a pretty physical dude.
Right.
When did you make the transition from realizing I'm not going to be able to solve my problems physically?
Yeah. It's probably been the last 5 years, this transition out of one work environment to another, just realizing, especially the staff, how loving you guys are and how much, like, how important you guys become and how I view you as very brilliant. And I viewed people like that before, but it was more of a tough brilliance. Mm-hmm. And you guys aren't walking around screaming, yelling at each other. And so I found a different environment where you guys don't live that way. During that time, I just started realizing how much more important the relationships are than how I feel. And I don't want you guys to fear me because that that makes a gap between how we can get along and how our relationships can build. And I didn't realize that for a really long time. Mm. And even within my wife and my kids, you know, I really don't want them to be scared of me. But I always thought I did because it gives me control.
Yeah.
And I don't want control anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll throw my wife under the bus and tell a story about her.
Smart.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Hope you're not watching. We were...
Cut that.
Yeah. We were engaged. We had just gotten engaged a few days before this. And we go to play tennis. And she kept messing up and she didn't understand the rules. And so I am an idiot. And I started making fun of her for not understanding the rules. Mm. And she lost it.
It's a bold tragedy.
And seriously, none of you guys have ever seen Darcy lose it.
I haven't.
Before.
No.
I want to see it.
Not even close.
She took the tennis ball.
We've tried.
In a racket. And she smacks the tennis ball at me as hard as she can. Smacks me.
Low.
And everybody, we were there with two of our friends. It was like a double date thing.
Oh, no.
That's perfect. It's not awkward at all.
Oh, no.
Everyone's staring.
Time to go.
Man, look at the time.
It's a lunch, right?
Yeah. And it was just kind of this, like, everybody wide-eyed looking at each other like, and she realized, oh, crap.
Right?
Like, what? Oh, yeah. He's not going to marry me now.
That's where they go,
gotcha. That was fun, right?
Yeah, right.
April Fool's.
Yeah.
It's like July.
Yeah.
And that was a turning point in our relationship. And now she doesn't hit tennis balls at me anymore.
You still pick on her, though?
I try not to. I realize she has a limit.
At least right.
You found a threshold, which is good.
You need to find a line.
You really do.
Yeah.
I would say most of our arguments come from my insensitivity.
Oh, seriously?
Making her feel silly or making fun of her. That's like 90% of our fights.
That sounds like... Yeah, that sounds like life right there.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, you...
That'll preach.
That upsets you. My bad. Right. Another JC in the chat was talking about seeing the anger, his anger affecting, like, just the look on his son's face.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing the effect of others, I think, which kind of mentioned before, but...
Which is heartbreaking when you finally realize that you're the source of people's fear.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. That's heartbreaking.
I started realizing I had to quit yelling at my kids. Like, that was not going to be an effective way of parenting them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are times that I raise my voice intentionally.
Yeah.
Sure. But, man, I used to just yell at Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was waking him up. Like, it was going to, this yelling was going to change his behavior. And maybe it did. Maybe it squashed the behavior. But then I also think it taught him some habits that I saw. It wasn't until I saw him yelling at his younger brother that night.
Dang it.
That's heartbreaking. That
I think I taught him that.
Gave him a license for it.
Yep.
Dang it.
So then I started like, ooh, I got to change this behavior because that's how he's going to treat his wife. That's how he's going to treat kids at school.
Good you saw that so early.
Yeah. I still feel like I still kick myself because now it's in him.
Sure.
Mine was like, if I really want to scare my kids... The Terminator, he never screams.
No.
Mike Myers, he never screams. Like,
so you need a robot body?
All of the oppressed, all of like the really scary
red eyes, people, though, man.
They just slowly walk and hunt you down.
It's nice. You can scream
a little bigger than you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Stronger.
Maybe that's why that's not working either.
Made of metal.
Yeah.
But it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Just stay on the road, boy.
That's right. Don't quit now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I made it through my notes.
Right on.
It was good.
Thanks for coming, Zach.
Yeah, Zach, thanks for having me.
You guys are doing a great job. I think people really enjoy this.
We're going to get good at it. We're going to get better at it, I should say.
Yeah, and speaking of, if you like it,
yeah,
would you please hit that thumbs up button? It helps us. Also, would you please subscribe to the channel? Share this video. Sharing the video helps get it out. And if you hit the bell, it'll notify you next Monday at 4 that we're doing it live.
That's right.
Doing it live.
That's right. Also, if this made you angry, would you please hit the thumb down button twice? Just for good measure.
Two thumbs down.
Two thumbs downs. Thumbs down.
Roger Ebert.
If you would like to give, if this is a ministry that is impacting you and you would like to have this go forth and have an impact on other people's lives and continue to share the gospel in this online environment, you can go to church307.com and click the give button. Mm-hmm. I believe that is correct. And you can help, you can support this ministry and help us to continue to do what we are doing.
Heck yeah.
And with that, let's throw the bennies.
Next Monday, don't forget, Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life.